Welcome on in, Jaybird Watching fan. Special Monday night podcast for you so that we don't overlap with any of these massive Blue Jays and Yankees game. The current situation has the Blue Jays one back of the Boston Red Sox and two back of the New York Yankees, who come to Rogers Center Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. Before we dive into all that, Craig Borden is joined by myself, and Chris Key is back on the show as our primary fill-in for Mr. Adam Corsair. Him and his wife, Cindy, had a lovely baby daughter. That is done. Baby watch is over. Adam is now on parental leave for a little while and will be out of commission for the next few months. Chris, it's great to have you back on the show, man. How you been?
What is going on, boys? Other than the stress-inducing, anxiety-driven, vomit-inducing games that we've been watching, life is good.
You haven't noticed that, like, my beard is getting slightly longer in this one spot here on camera because I keep pulling at it.
Yeah, and more gray. Just one spot. yes.
By the end of the week, it'll be bald, probably. I'm going to have to shave.
Yeah, you might have no hair left, actually, by the end of the week. That's just the way it's been going. Chris, it's great to have you back. Obviously, Adam will be out of commission for a few weeks, and probably most of the shows will have you on as often as you can give us the time for. You'll be our primary fill-in for Mr. Corsair for the foreseeable future. He returns from parental leave. But let's dive into it, gentlemen. We are doing this special, again, Monday night podcast. This is the first time, Craig, I think we've done a Jaybird watching on a day not named Thursday or Wednesday in, like, maybe a year and a bit. Like, it's been quite a while. So it's a little weird. It feels like it should be Wednesday or Thursday, but the week's just getting started. But again, we did not want to interrupt or record during any of these upcoming three games. But guys, let's set the scene. The Blue Jays left Tropicana Field last week, Wednesday, down half a game on the New York Yankees. And they had a chance to make that up on Thursday and tie them yet again in the standings. And because they had the tiebreaker in the season series, they would have been in a playoff spot before the Yankees and the Red Sox started their three-game series at Fenway Park. The Blue Jays proceed to lose again on Friday, starting a nightmarish start to that series against the Minnesota Twins. Blue Jays Twitter's panicking. They see the Yankees win and go up a game, and then they right the ship. They get the W on Saturday behind Robbie Ray and another good outing from Alek Manoah on Sunday. But unfortunately, apparently all of us Blue Jays fans who wanted the Red Sox to win and thought they were going to win 2 out of 3 or maybe even sweep the Yankees were very disappointed that Boston did not help them out at all. So that is why the Blue Jays are two back of New York and one back of the Boston Red Sox. So, Chris, you're our guest, and you are the primary fill-in for Adam. Let's start with you on this one. What the hell happened on Thursday and Friday last week? After we left the Trop, I think everybody was okay. I don't think anybody expected them to win the series against Tampa Bay at Tropicana Field, given the history. It just seems like it's a cursed place. But then they go into Minnesota with Steven Matz on Thursday and Jose Berríos on Friday, and they lose both of those games. And that was all the Yankees needed to capitalize and start kind of running away with it a little bit. So what the hell happened?
I can tell you that there were 27 men left on base in those two games. That's it.
Yeah.
They didn't hit. The pitching was just good enough, maybe not so much on, what was it, Thursday was a little bit more of a blowout than Friday. The boys just didn't hit when they needed to. And that seems to be, doesn't that seem to be kind of the story of the year? The pitching has been fairly steady and a hell of a lot better than what any of us probably could have predicted at the beginning of the year. If anybody had come to us and said that the starting pitching is going to be a strong point of this team, we probably would have just scoffed at it and walked away. This team has such a tough time just when they can't get going right away with runners in scoring position. It doesn't seem like they ever really make it back. Other than that, that 10 game stretch or whatever it was, that this team, it seems that they fight themselves so much, doesn't it, at the plate, that they're own worst enemy. And like, I don't know if you guys are feeling it, and it was actually my wife that pointed it out to me, was that does it not feel like Boba Fett is kind of missing right now?
A little bit.
Like, whenever he comes up to the plate with somebody on base, it feels like he's going to strike out flailing at something. And I feel like that's a huge problem for this team. Is the solution to that bumping Teo up? I don't think it would hurt, but I think that's by far and away the reason why those first two games went as poorly as they did for the Blue Jays.
Craig, why don't you give us your two cents on what happened on Thursday and Friday?
Thursday and Friday, I agree with Chris. The fact is the offense couldn't get off the bench, right? We pitched well enough to be in the games, but to that point, didn't have enough offense to back anything up. So in the midst of that, there's no way in hell they were going to win those first two games with that going on. It was just too much in the wrong direction, and there was even some fielding miscues. It almost looked like they were pressing a little bit, so not terribly shocked that the way things went the way they did. But the fact that they turned on the weekend and was able to make a positive out of it and come out of that series 500, I think says something to the team and where they could be trending. They know what's going on. They're, regardless of the fact that Charlie Montoyo says he doesn't check the standings every morning, we know he's checking the standings. That's a line of BS. That's right. Just, you know, purely for the media, right? Just to, you know, give him a little nudge. Oh, I don't care about that. Don't worry about it. And if he didn't really care about that, there's no way in hell he has a job in Major League Baseball. There's just no way of saying it.
Yeah.
But to that point, I think we saw the bats come alive enough. The fact that George Springer ended up finally getting some good hits after he hit the home run on Saturday. And then I think he went 3-for-4 in the game Sunday, correct?
He did.
So, and doing what all things good with him do and hitting the ball, you know, hard line drives, that home run he hit on Sunday was even more impressive than the one he hit on Saturday. So you get him right at the top of that order, everything else falls into place. And I think that the, as bad as those first two games go with the Twins, that just showed the flaws in this team and why they need to try covering that up with the offense. And they do have enough to cover up that other stuff when that offense is clicking. And they just got to find a way to beat good pitching. And that, those games, that wasn't the best pitching that they should have been facing.
No. Look, I can probably give them a little bit of a slide with Michael Pineda because he kept them in check the week before. And you know what? It is very tough to sweep a four-game series on the road, regardless of who you're playing. I know they did it against the Yankees back in early September, which really propelled them on this run and got them so much closer. But like, that was the first time, what, they were swept at Yankee Stadium by the Blue Jays since 2003, but then also never had like the lead in that series, like since like 1904 or something crazy, that crazy stat. So it's tough to do. Yeah. So I think we all expected, Craig, in the last show that we had Adam on, and Chris, I don't know about you, but I think the majority of Blue Jays fans would have been completely happy with 3-4 in that series. Like, even if you won Thursday, you win Thursday, you get everything back even, and say you drop Friday while the Yankees won, then if you won 3-4, you'd probably be one back in this series against the Yankees as opposed to two. And that's the thing that's tough is, you know what, at the end of the day, the split really wasn't that bad, all things considered. I know that it's not the team we were hoping would be just one up on Toronto, especially because Boston's schedule is very soft the rest of the way out, but they still have an opportunity to take care of their own business for the next little while. But you both said something that we should elaborate on a little bit more. It feels like, to Chris, your point, when the Blue Jays were winning and they won those like 8 games in a row and they did like 10 out of 12 and then whatever that crazy streak was back in September, Bo was coming up with the big hits and everybody was hitting at that time. Things slowed down a little bit. I think it just shows how important Bo Bichette is to this offense, especially when he's batting cleanup. You get George Springer going in on base. You get Simeon on base. And Vlad has been on base a ton. And he's actually been hitting a lot lately, but there's nobody been on in front of him. So Bo comes up with the runners on. It does seem like he's pressing a little bit lately, but he was the one that said after they swept Oakland back in the beginning of September, he's like, we needed that to realize how good we were. So, Chris, how confident are you now that the Blue Jays won Saturday and Sunday? You look at the pitching matchups in this upcoming series against the New York Yankees. You have Jameson Taillon going tomorrow against Hyunjin Ryu. You have Jose Berríos and Gerrit Cole on Wednesday. And then you have Corey Kluber and Robbie Ray on Thursday. Do you think maybe these last two games, plus the fact that there's going to be increased attendance to 30,000 and 15,000 was loud. Like, they made a lot of noise. This is going to sound a lot louder, and it is a huge series. So how confident are you feeling the Blue Jays going into this series against the Yankees can either leave or welcome Baltimore in just one back of New York, or a potential sweep of this series to go one up on them as they go into the Baltimore series? How confident are you that they can turn it around a little bit?
Well, I wasn't feeling confident, but now you have me all hyped up for it. So,
start the hype video.
Try, man.
Okay. There's two really main things that are going to go along with this. And one, I do not fear Gerrit Cole as much as the rest of the league because this team mashes velocity, and they've done it against Cole a couple of times this year. Berríos has been pitching really well lately. Not worried about that game at all. Not worried about Robbie Ray because Robbie Ray for life. That easy. Kluber is washed up trash. Don't worry about him. Where
to that point, though, he's had something to tank all of a sudden the last few games for the Yankees. But to that point, I agree with you that Corey Kluber is not Corey Kluber at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, washed up trash. We don't have to worry about it. not with Robbie Ray on the mound. Come on now.
Yeah, let's go.
What we do have to worry about is what version of Hyunjin Ryu are we going to get? Yes. And that is at the forefront of a lot of Blue Jays fans' minds right now. Are we going to get ERA leader Hyunjin Ryu? Are we going to get 2020 version of Ryu minus the wild card game? Are we going to get Hyunjin Ryu last couple of starts, which isn't so happy? Or are we going to get the Hyunjin Ryu that's been pitching against New York Yankees this year, which has been really good? I don't have really the numbers good in front of me right now, but he's been really, really good against the Yankees this year. So the question is, which Ryu are we going to get?
Yeah.
Because that's going to set the table for the next two games. If we can absolutely demoralize this Yankees team in that first game, I think we're going to be okay. Another advantage we have, and I know, Brendan, you and I talked about this earlier today, no short porch. So there's no cheap home runs.
That's right.
Rogers Center, yes, is a launching pad, and there's still Judge, Gallo, Rizzo. These guys are still going to hit home runs. Well, guess what? So is Springer, Semien, Bo, Vlad, DeOscar, Richard. Okay, you just go down our list from one into like eight, and you could say nine now because all of a sudden Danny Jansen learned how to hit after coming off the IL, which I'm pretty sure I came on in the beginning of the year with you guys, and we had all had him written off and back in Buffalo. He's got to come back to life, and he hasn't done it yet. Those are the two things. We hit velocity, which is great, and we're going to be fine that way with Gerrit Cole. Do not fear Gerrit Cole unless we get angry Cole, which then makes me a little worried. But what Ryu are we going to get on Tuesday night?
Yeah, that'll be very key, extremely key, as Mr. Chris Key says. Craig, George Springer did heat up, as you mentioned, in the last two games against the Minnesota Twins. So how key will George Springer be to get this series off to a good start on Tuesday?
I think, like I said, he sets the tone for this lineup. Whether it's either he gets it on base or if it's an actual nice little home run to start off this thing, he is easily going to set the tone for this offense come tomorrow at 7 o'clock. It doesn't shock me. As soon as we hopefully have a shutdown inning in the first inning. And just to point that out, we all know how well, you know, Hyunjin Ryu pitches on more than 6 days rest. He's had 11 days at this point. To the tune of apparently he has a sub-3 ERA, as I'm looking here, when you go to more than 6 days of rest before this season. It blew up a little bit, but 3.29. I'm not splitting hairs. But to that point, I agree with you that if you get Springer right, and we've seen him do what he did over the weekend here, and against some, the one thing that I want to say is that the Twins have a stellar bullpen regardless of what's going on. They might not have that lockdown closer, but Springer hitting that home run in the seventh inning on Saturday says something. Him hitting that, I think it was the fifth inning, I believe. It was off of their second guy on the bullpen on Sunday. But to that point, getting Springer going is key. And then it just creates that just onslaught. It sets that confidence level for this team. between that, something like that, getting off to a good start offensively and pitching wise with, you know, what is now 30,000 screaming Canadians, there is going to be a little bit of a fire lit under their ass. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, better.
Rogers Center stocked up on their beer.
Yeah.
Well, to that point, it's just more screaming. Yeah. You know, go Blue Jays. Oh, no. I'm all out of beer.
Yeah, they better. Yeah, no, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be awesome seeing 30,000 fans there and see 500 level somewhat busy yet again. I mean, hey, we said it at the top of the show. 15,000 people did make a lot of noise in some of those games. Just imagine what that's going to be doubled. Imagine what it would be if it was sold out for this series. Like, that's incredible. It should be.
You think fans need to be coming out of the woodwork here.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but let's expand on Hyunjin Ryu a little bit, because he's kicking things off in this series. And Craig, Chris brought up, he has pitched very, very well against the Yankees so far this year. And the Yankees aren't very favorable against non-velocity. And I think that's why Ryu has done very well against him. Relies on location, can get it inside. And the interesting thing was about his start against Minnesota before he went on the injured list, he had one of the highest velocities, if not the highest velocity of his season so far in that start against Minnesota. But he missed his spots. So I'm hoping that with some extra rest, some increased velocity, and there's always the increase of velocity with Hyunjin Ryu on a couple extra days rest, that trend will continue and that he will continue to beat the New York Yankees, or at least keep them in the game, as you said. So are you feeling nervous? Are you feeling confident about Hyunjin Ryu starting? Or are you more so expecting, you know what, maybe he goes out, gives you 5-6 innings, Yankees score a couple runs. Because in my mind, it's more the fact that Jameson Taillon is coming off the injured list, and the Blue Jays did hit Taillon earlier in the year. That's what's giving me confidence about tomorrow's game. Not Hyunjin Ryu, necessarily. I am expecting him to pitch okay and keep them in it, but I do think the bats are going to get off to a good start. So where are you at with your confident level in game one tomorrow?
So this is some weird stuff with Ryu's stats for this season. And it just doesn't make any rhyme or reason. He has a better pitching, percentage in every category against teams that are better than 500. It's the teams that are below 500 that are kicking his butt.
That's true. Has Baltimore beat him a few times?
So there's three teams he's done really, really well against this year. Baltimore, Minnesota, and the Yankees. Those three teams are his best statistics for the whole season. The Tigers beat him up. The Indians beat him up. And so did the Boston Red Sox. But to that point, it is what it is. But he's only, the one bad game really blew him up against the Red Sox. But so far this year against the Yankees, he has a .188 batting average against him in 91 plate appearances. That's a good enough sample size that I'm leaning in the direction I'm trusting him and hoping he can hold him 3 runs. If you hold the Yankees offense to 3 runs and we get to Taillon, Ryu did exactly what we needed him to do.
Right.
Because it's at least not diving us into the bullpen too fucking early in game one.
Yeah.
And it's going to screw up the remainder of the series. Because honestly, that is my biggest fear for tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's a win with Ryu right now?
Five innings, maybe 3 runs. Yeah. I'd be fine with it.
I was five or getting into the sixth, 3 runs.
Agreed.
I think you have to be happy with that at this point.
Easily, 100%.
And if he gives you 7 and 1 run, then you're over the moon, excited. Yeah,
you're loving it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To Craig's reaction right there, there'll be a lot of that at the Rogers Center tomorrow night, if that's the case.
So, yeah, no, I agree with you that if we can get 5 and 3 earned out of him, I would obviously he does better than that. It's a win. But
yeah,
absolutely. To that point, the Blue Jays hitting can back him up, and I think that can happen against Taillon coming back from the IL. And he's just hoping to get right.
Yeah.
Because the Yankees need him for a playoff push just as much as anybody else. It's amazing the fact that their pitching has been able to string along enough to the fact that they were counting on a lot of innings from Corey Kluber, him, and even the fact that Gerrit Cole missed a few outings.
Right.
So there's been a lot, just as much disarray in the Yankees roster as there has been for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. And it has been amazing that both of these teams are even in this conversation in September baseball going into October.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Chris, where are you at with your confidence level in Ryu yesterday? Let's say that bar is 5 innings or going into the sixth and giving up 2 or 3 runs. Are you confident that's what he's going to deliver tomorrow? Because as we said, up at the top, it has not been very pretty the last, probably month before he went on the injured list. So where's your confidence level at that Ryu can at least deliver what we just said would be a win?
No.
Tell me how you really feel.
He's
got ready for Hatch to come in the third.
Okay, now here's the thing. Ryu's coming off the IL, so he's pitching on longer rest. We know in the past he's pitched a lot better with longer rest. What have you seen in the last month that suggests that he's going to come out and do what we want him to? Not a lot. So you got to show me before I can have any kind of confidence in you. I know he's pitched well against the Yankees. I know he's supposed to be our top gun. I'm not confident at all.
Yeah.
But I'm not confident. Okay. My whole speech before about how Robbie Ray for life and like I'm not afraid of cold. Like I sit on pins and needles from first pitch, about 15 minutes before first pitch until about like an hour and a half after last pitch, and I'm going through Twitter scrolling through and watching everybody slowly become more and more sick as the night goes on. But that's what this is, and am I confident in Ryu to get with the question? No, but like you kind of have to be as well.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It
like you have, he's the guy out, he's throwing. Whether they have mats ready to come in.
Yeah.
I think you have to as well. Stripling doesn't give me any kind of confidence right now. Merriweather doesn't give me any kind of confidence right now. So you have to have mats at the ready. I'm going to say, and if for some miracle Ryu gets through seven innings and then you go to either Simber or Pearson or Richards or Mesa and then Ramon and everything is peachy with the world.
Right.
You have to have mats ready for that game against for Berríos, and you have to have that game or have mats ready for the game against, if anything goes squirrely in the first two or three innings, Mats has to come in
easily.
Not to say that Mats is going to be a godsend and change the game for us at all, but you have to keep everything in check and you have to keep the game close. You have to give the offense a chance to come back. You have to give them a chance to hit the ball. You have to.
Yeah. So why don't we,
if you go 1-2 this series, then you might as well just start Pearson and start Merriweather against Baltimore.
Yeah.
Like, unless Boston gets swept still, like,
we're going to talk about that in a minute. So there's a lot going on here. It's not just the Blue Jays and the Yankees.
Let's elaborate on Steven Matz a little bit, because I know Adam was the exact same way as you are, Chris, when we recorded on Wednesday after the game and we were talking about what was likely to happen with Ryu starting Tuesday. This not only lines them up for Tuesday, it also lines them up for Sunday, which is the last day of the season. And if he goes out there and has a bit of a rough outing tomorrow and they lose, let's say they do manage to win the last two of the series, and then we sweep Baltimore, because that's probably what it'll have to take at that point. You have Ryu lined up for game 162. So that's where it gets a little dicey, and I guess that's where I want to go with this next. As we talked about Steven Matz, Matz has been better than Ryu the last little while. I know there's last outing against Minnesota on Thursday.
You're stressing me out already.
I'm going to go back to pull my beard.
This is what it's all about.
There's no game, and I'm already stressing. I'm sweating. This is good.
I'm going to have to not feel feelings anymore. I'm going to just
I'm sorry, boys, but this is just what it's come down to. It is all stress for the rest of the season, unless they just totally blow chunks in this three-game series, and then we'd all be stress-free on the weekend and probably watch football or something.
Less stress.
Yeah, that's a lot less stressful. But I guess, I don't know which one of you want to take it first. Chris, you can go and run with this one. Is why didn't they go with Steven Matz tomorrow? I know Matz didn't pitch well on the Thursday before. The last time he faced the Yankees, he actually pitched quite well in that four-game series, and he's pitched well since the All-Star break. And you think, okay, you have Matz lined up for game 162 at that point, especially because you don't know what you're going to get from Ryu. So I don't know. I think maybe all of our thought processes are you start Ryu, and just what you just said, Matz is there for the second inning or the third inning. If Ryu gets in trouble in the first, he gets out of it. He gets a couple base runners on in the second. Matz is ready to go. But why didn't they just decide to start Steven Matz?
Because Hyunjin Ryu is making $20 million.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason.
He's more of your sure thing, is what it really comes down to. I know Matz has been quote unquote better this year than he has been, but Ryu has been good until this month.
But right? I feel with Matz, and Manoah's done this the last couple of outings as well, is Matz can fight through five innings.
He can battle.
Ryu cannot fight through five innings. He's either got it or he's flaming hot garbage.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And for me right now, I would rather a guy that can fight and give me five innings.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you.
It's one of those things that, honestly, how much do you think of this is because they want to make sure that they have Ryu right-ish for a playoff run? They're going to let him go out there and just see what happens. Because he's got, honestly, guys, him and Matz are probably the guys that are out in the three-man rotation for the playoffs. So you got to have them somewhere. You're throwing Ryu and all that money into the bullpen at that point. They want to make sure that he has some innings before that. So
come out of the bullpen.
I'm with you. And you know what? I said this.
He won't come out of the bullpen.
I said this a couple weeks ago to Adam and to you, Craig, when we were recording. That's why if they do get in the $1 million that Chris just said, why he's starting tomorrow and lined up for 162, you paid him all that money, the significance of the signing, he would get a playoff start if they get into a DS.
Yeah. And he may only get one.
Yeah.
Like if you make it to the CS, then he may not, because you could screw around with things a little bit more and there's an off day in there. You could run with three men.
Yeah.
And if something happens to Ray at that point where he's pitching on short rest and gets hurt, well, then you have no commitment to him next year.
Right.
But to that point, you have a valuable arm in your bullpen for like a Randy Johnson situation. I know he doesn't throw heat, so don't make that comparison. But the fact that you have somebody that can go out and throw junk for an inning or two, if you did get off to that bad start with any starter in the five-game series anyways. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself. But
yeah.
Without him playing tomorrow, you don't even know what you have, because honestly, guys, I don't know what you guys saw his last few starts. I'm wondering how much he was actually legit healthy in those two outings. And he was trying to be that guy and just power through because he is supposed to be the guy for this team.
Yeah.
And to that point, I don't know. And like I said, I'm using him tomorrow as a complete wild card against the Yankees. But soon as, like you guys said, I'm pulling that ripcord on that parachute pretty damn quickly.
Very fast.
And just bring Steven Matz in.
Even if if you got to pull Ryu in the third inning,
you don't think you need Matz, and all of a sudden you're like, oh shit,
we need him for a few innings. You put Pearson in for an inning, blow him out of the water, especially if it's anywhere near the top of that order. You blow him away for an inning and then bring Matz in to clean up 3 or so innings.
Agreed.
Through the middle.
Yeah. Because he can warm up faster than Matz would.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, we've seen it too, that Ryu tends, if he has problems, he's right off the bat, or it's like that second or third time back around the lineup. If you have Matz ready to plug into that second time through the lineup, fine, fucking do it. Just let him run through it. It'll really mess with the Yankee hitters. I know it's two lefties, but it's two different kinds of lefties.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Now, I know I've already written off Stripling, but wasn't he really good against the Yankees this year?
I think he had one or two good starts for sure. I know he started that second game. Yeah, pull it up, Mr. Stat.
Yeah.
I'm
almost positive he had one like really, really good start against them, and then another one that was pretty good.
Yeah. Because the one that I keep on thinking of is the second game of the year when he started, but that was before the mechanical adjustment. After mechanical adjustment, I'm pretty sure he's had at least one really good one.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know where Stripling fits in the rest of the way, to be honest. Like, he's there in case of an emergency with Berríos or Ray on Thursday, maybe, but that's also kind of what you have Matz back there for.
Yeah, well, 22 runs against the Orioles, and then you throw him out there for 4 innings.
Yeah, hey, let's do that.
It doesn't show on Baseball Reference, but he did have two starts against the Yankees, 46 players, play appearances by Yankee hitters, 3.5 ERA.
Yeah, see, that's not bad.
No. Yeah, but the first start was bad.
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I take it back. It was 10 innings, 4.5 ERA. That was that. I was looking at his strikeouts.
Okay.
Walk,
okay.
So they break it up really weird on Baseball Reference. I screwed up.
That's all right. We'll give you
a pass. That's why you're in the stats team.
Yeah, but I'm also hosting. I gotta keep the agenda and the conversation flowing.
Which is our next show.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on. I think we're all kind of in agreement with the Ryu thing for tomorrow. It's like we want to be hopeful. We want to believe in the fact that he is the ace. This like one of the most significant signings in Blue Jays history before George Springer. I am very 50-50. I'm trying to talk myself into it. But Chris, to your point, what have we seen this month that makes us believe he can go out there and do even five with three runs or six with three runs? So it'll be interesting to see. The middle game is where things get interesting because it's Gerrit Cole. And I know we beat Gerrit Cole the last time out, and he hasn't been that great his last couple turns to the rotation. The Cleveland Indians kicked the crap out of him a couple weeks ago.
spider attack.
Yes, yeah, exactly. The spider attack.
The best part, the best part about that whole start against the Indians was the fact that I don't know if you saw when they pulled him.
Oh, Boone yeah,
comes
yeah.
out, the turns around right to the freaking scoreboard and goes.
Yeah, he's pissed off that the Red Sox and the Jays were winning. I do remember that, actually. Yeah. That's true. But yeah, so that middle game is going to be very, very interesting because you have a Gerrit Cole who, he's still Gerrit Cole at the end of the day, no matter how bad he's been. But you have Jose Berríos, who you made a huge splash to get. You traded away significant prospect capital to get. So, Craig, if you are ranking your confidence in game number two, knowing that you're going up against Gerrit Cole, knowing that Berríos has pitched very, very well since his mechanical adjustment and trip to Mr. Pete Walker since that Tigers series, how are you feeling for the second game? Because, this is the way it's going to go in my mind, guys. If they win 2 out of 3 or they sweep, you obviously – I think tomorrow you have to win. You start off with a win, get that gap between you and the Yankees down to one game. Wednesday, you got Gerrit Cole, could go either way. If the Blue Jays win, I think it's like a 3-2 or 4-3, some type of game like that. It'll be close. Berríos pitched well, Cole pitches well. Maybe a run comes in later in the game. And that either sets you up for the possibility on Thursday with Robbie Ray to bring the gap back down to one game before you play Baltimore, or surpass him by a game. So, Craig, what are you feeling for Wednesday's game with Jose Berríos and Gerrit Cole?
You ready for sweeping declarations?
Yes. What is it?
Jose Berríos will have his first defining Blue Jay moment on Wednesday. And honestly, guys, watching him trend the way he's been trending, this could look very similar to what Marcus Stroman did in 2015 for his ALCS performance. It's going to be something epic, I think. He's very similar, as much as I just don't even want to make this comparison because I like Berríos so much more than Stroman.
Yeah.
But to that point, they are two very similar players where they feed off of the environment. This is full-scale Blue Jay fandom that he's going to experience for the first time, and I think he's going to use that as a weapon to destroy Yankee hitters. I really do. And watching him pitch and these mechanical changes and everything, I've only seen him getting stronger and stronger each start. So I really think that this is going to be a threat for the New York Yankees come Wednesday. And to your point, though, I don't think it's going to be a crazy runaway scoring game for either side. This is going to be one of those things where Gerrit Cole and him are going to go toe-to-toe, and it's going to look like a future Cy Young battle in the next couple of years. And I think it's going to be something that Blue Jays fans are going to really remember.
Yeah. Chris, how about you?
To go with what Craig was saying about feeding off the energy, that's why I wish Manoah was pitching in this series.
Yeah.
I really wish Manoah was pitching in this series. It kind of just clicked, and that just it sent lots of happy thoughts in my mind.
Yes.
The Blue Jays need to get.
No, I still think he's too young to deal with it, too.
I don't think so at all. No, I think Manoah thrives in those moments. There's an interesting kind of psychological game with that, isn't there? And by no means am I a professional in this field at all, but that some people have it, some people don't. And Manoah is somebody who thrives under pressure, just like Marcus Stroman does. Like, you see how Stroman pitches in these big games, and there's something that just clicks and a switch turns on in their head, and it's very, very interesting and magical to watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where were we?
Berríos, Cole.
Yeah, no. Brios, Cole. There we go. The Blue Jays need to get to Gerrit Cole in the first inning.
Yeah.
If they don't get to him in the first inning, we're going to have all sorts of trouble with him. You got to score two, maybe three in that first inning to get him a little shaky and make him battle. You got to run that pitch. As much as you don't want to really run into the New York bullpen, the front half of the New York bullpen is flaming hot garbage.
Yes,
once you get into the back end of that bullpen, it seems now that Chapman's kind of figured things out. You don't want to be in a close. Yeah, he's human trash. But anywho, I keep telling you guys exactly how I feel tonight.
Hey, bring it on.
So it's like having you on this show. One, yeah. Honestly, yeah. It plays well here on the barroom chat.
Yeah. So, but if you can get to Cole and run that pitch count up early, you got a really good chance in that game. But if you let Cole get comfy and he has, I don't know, a 10-12 pitch first inning, whew, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
We'll fight. We'll fight. And Barrios will keep you in it, but it's going to be tough. You let Cole go seven. You let Cole go seven innings. It becomes a real challenging game to win. Then you better hope that you win that first game in that case then.
Oh, 100%. That's why Tuesday you have to win. And this is probably a stupid question, but the last game of the year, and Chris, we'll start with you on this one. It's it's your man crush. It's the guy you pick every week for picks to click. Stupid question, but how are you not anything but 100% confident that they win the Robbie Ray start on Thursday?
Especially the lock.
Yeah.
It's Chris Key's lock of the week. I wish I had a giant lock. But
I got to get you like those old Fisher Price ones they used to use when Jimmy Key was pitching.
No, that's my lock of the week. You're going to see something special from Robbie Ray. He had to fight a little bit in his last start. A little bit of the umpires screwing around. There's been a lot of talk about that right now, about umpires and kind of seeing what happened in the Tampa series, obviously, a little bit in the Minnesota series. Definitely what the hell happened in Boston last night was just peak Joe West all over again. It was just the defining, you know, he's got, like, what, six more games his career to just
when you do get what Joe he West can. His best Angel Hernandez impression, though, things are going a little south, just saying.
Yeah, like, no kidding.
If you could put an umpiring crew together of Joe West, Angel Hernandez, Vic Carapazza, and CB Buckner together, I wonder what kind of fireworks would happen then. It would just be the big, like, you wouldn't even have to send teams out there. You wouldn't have to send teams out there because everybody would be thrown out. And it'd just be the biggest show you've ever. It'd be like watching Cirque du Soleil. You might as well just buy Cirque du Soleil tickets. That's
here's all your it comparison. Is. Leslie Nielsen, Naked Gun. That whole rip, you know, where he was the umpire in that scene. If you guys have seen that movie, that's just going to be him going like, and striking people out every 5 seconds when the ball was being thrown. This is freaking nuts.
I'm excited for the Robbie Ray start on Thursday. He's been my guy all through. As soon as he came over, I was hooked with him and I knew something special was on the way with him. But like, I don't know if it'll be that defining moment or anything, but he's going to go out there and truly put a stamp on why he is this year's Cy Young winner.
And you called that from day one. You really did.
Yeah,
and if anybody doesn't believe us, go back and search Chris Key, your handle, and Robbie Ray, and go back and see. This was like all the way back and like as soon as he re-signed back in November.
It's definitely spring training.
Cy Young. Yeah, it's spring training 100%. That's when the campaign began. But yeah, no, I agree. I really think with you on the fact that I think that's a lock, especially against Corey Kluber. Craig, are you with Chris on the fact that that win in this series is a lock?
Yeah, so to this point, Blue Jays win one of the first two games. Robbie Ray is going to come out like he's on fire or his pants are even tighter, whichever way you want to call it.
My pants just got tighter.
It's getting hotter in here. It's getting hotter in here. Somebody turn off the temperature.
As Chris goes, swing. So to that point, if the Blue Jays win because he gets that start on Wednesday, like you would fairy tale write this whole thing, he is the Cy Young, period. I don't care what the Gerrit Cole has done. Hitting every pitching category right with Gerrit Cole, and he's going to single-handedly pitch the Blue Jays into the playoffs at that point. There's just dumbfoundingly ridiculous. It's got to happen. But to that point, just as much as I said that Jose Berríos is going to have his defining moment as a Blue Jay, we are going to see the best of Bobby Ray on Wednesday. And I don't think anybody can stop that man in that kind of mindset right now. He is, to your point, locked in. So the Blue Jays could score one run on Wednesday, and I think that would be enough for Robbie Ray to run through everybody.
Oh, yeah, I would not be surprised.
I think we've all just guaranteed a sweep this week then.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it. We've kind of talked ourselves into it, but let's save the predictions for after this other topic of conversation, because obviously this is what the Blue Jays can control, this Yankees series, and they can get ahead of them. They could get one game back of them before they welcome in the Baltimore Orioles, but there is another path. And it's not necessarily a path I think any of us wanted. And that was...
I've waited on.
Yeah, yeah, very much not. The other path is hoping that Baltimore and the Washington Nationals can steal a couple games from the Boston Red Sox this week. I personally don't think the Red Sox are going to run the table here. I think they cough one up against Baltimore, and I think they cough one up against Washington. I think they go 4-2 this week is what I'm saying the Boston Red Sox do. But that being said, Craig... are you more confident in being able to catch and surpass the Boston Red Sox versus the New York Yankees? Or are you still wanting, like, I don't know how confident you are in that with given the fact they're playing Baltimore and Washington, but I think a couple losses are in there. So if they mix in two losses, you go 5-1, then you have a tie with Baltimore or with Boston at that point. But I don't know. Where do you sit on that path?
To this point, unfortunately, it's too easy for the Red Sox, in my opinion, to take one of these wild card spots back from the Blue Jays or the Yankees. And it's just the writing's on the wall, I think, regardless of the fact that they've lost five, I think, in a row. Well, three in a row, just the Yankees. I thought they lost a couple in the series before. But to that point, the Yankees got to turn around after playing us. And like I said, there's no way in hell that this is not going to be a bloodbath between these two teams the next 3 days. That we might as well have marquee that, you know what I mean? But the Yankees turn around and have to go play Tampa. That's, I think, the bigger thing here than anything. And I think with the Blue Jays turning around and being able to hopefully, you know, if they take a game or two, then the Yankees, knowing that they can go and take at least probably two from the Orioles, because the Orioles somehow manage to steal one from us every goddamn time, that the Rays, even their bench players, they always have the math to seem like they know how to beat the damn Yankees. So I'm hinging all my money if the Blue Jays somehow caught this series. The fact that the Rays are still going to be a pain in the ass for the New York Yankees that last series of the baseball this year. And correct me if I'm wrong, is it in Tampa?
It's at Yankee Stadium.
It's at Yankee Stadium. But still, to that point, it's still the damn Rays.
Yeah.
And they don't want it. If they're looking at the schedule of who the Rays could be playing in the ALCS, you got to be thinking that they've had better luck against the Yankees and Red Sox. If they could fuck one of them over, they're going to try and do it.
Hey, did Bob Kiermaier say he wanted to play the Blue Jays? That's how you help them.
Strange feeling that might happen.
Yeah.
And what better way to freaking storybook you know, the promo video for that series, right?
Yeah, yeah. Chris, the Red Sox are starting a series at Baltimore tomorrow by throwing Chris Sale at them and then Nate Eovaldi. So I don't know how comfortable you are with the path of catching and surpassing the Red Sox, given who they're playing, but I don't know. I think at this point, I'd rather take my chances of catching New York than Boston.
Yep. I think trying to deal with Boston, unless they have an epic... Okay. I don't know how, let's start by saying this. I don't know how Boston has made this far this year.
I know.
But somehow they have. So we have to credit them with being at least a reputable team this year. I'm not going to go as far to say that they're a good team, because I still don't believe that they are a good team, but they are a reputable team and have to respect that. Are the Yankees a good team as well? It depends on what week it is. Are the Blue Jays a good team? Also depends on which week it is.
Every team that's not a flawed team in our freaking division somehow is the Tampa Bay.
Boston with the Washington Nationals and the Baltimore Orioles, I believe Boston does take care of business and they punch their ticket probably sooner than later, I'm going to say. To expand on this topic, our best and easiest option or way to get to the playoffs is through 163. And I believe that's exactly what it is going to come down to.
It's not crazy. It's not crazy. And that's actually a really good segue, because this is the last topic I want to get into before we get into making our official predictions, putting that down in writing or words and picks to click. Is Jeff Passan tweeted today, and this is crazy because it all sounds like it very much happened. If the Blue Jays take 2-3 from the Yankees and sweep the Orioles, all of which is very possible, you go 5-1. The Yankees then take 2-3 from the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Red Sox win 4-6 against Baltimore and Washington. All that sounds like it could very well happen. If that happens, you have a three-way tie for 2 wildcard spots. And as Jeff Passan says, I love chaos. And then that goes into a whole bunch of tiebreaker scenarios that are way too complicated to explain on here and would take way too long, and I don't want to go off on that sort of a tangent. So
you don't want that one's really not that complicated. So
I guess
basically the team with the highest win percentage of those teams gets to pick their fate. Right. So you get to choose whether you take option A or option B. So option A is you go straight to the winner's gate, or straight to the wild card, I guess. Is it straight to the wild card, or you get 2 shots at it?
Club A
is basically, yeah.
Club A hosts Club B in the first game. The winner goes right into the wild card game. The
loser, yeah, that's it,
goes and plays Club C. So Club B, yeah, is the one with guaranteed 2 spots. Well, if you're Club A or Club B, you have 2 shots of punching your ticket to 2 the playoffs. Shots at it.
Yes. We believe if it's between the Yankees, Red Sox, and Blue Jays, the Blue Jays are Club B.
Yeah, they're second.
Because we have the tiebreaker against the Yankees no matter what.
We have the tiebreaker, yeah. Yes. And Boston had a better record against the Yankees, but Boston has a better record than Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So Boston would depend, and I don't think it matters what happens in the series. I believe it's Boston, Toronto, New York.
Yeah.
And then if we really want to get crazy, if there's a 4-way, then it's basically A versus B play to see who gets into the wild card game, and then C and D play to see who gets into the wild card. And then if there's a 5-way tie,
oh God,
sad thing is it's that close.
Rob Manfred is going to have to do some really quick thinking, because there's nothing in the rules to establish what happens in a 5-way tie.
Yeah, that's true. So let's bring on a 5-way tie. Is what you're trying to say?
Because then, because Rob Manfred is going to bring in a home run derby then, and then we're going to put Guerrero out, and then we're going to win.
Or he's going to do something ridiculous and do a coin flip, and it's going to be broadcasted on ESPN.
Yeah, with Alex Rodriguez commentating.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I have all the people in the world, him and Joe Buck together or something, just to make my like skin crawl.
No. A-Rod and Harold Reynolds.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah,
I know the controversy with Reynolds, but I don't care.
And Buck Martinez.
Yes.
He will be very drunk.
We're just there for useless commentary as well.
You know, you got to hit the ball into the field to actually get hits, right?
You have to hit the ball in the air.
Quick comment about our commentators lately. I've really enjoyed Tabler with Shulman.
Yeah, they've been fantastic.
That's worked.
Really good.
I'm surprised, but that has worked.
Yeah.
Like, all these years, everybody thought the Tabler was the problem.
Maybe Buck isn't feeding him enough.
Yeah. And, like, I really don't have any problems with Buck. Like, he's, like, the voice of the Blue Jays, like, growing up and through my childhood and whatever. So I have some weird sentimental kind of attachment to his voice. But, like, Shulman and Tabler have been really, really good. Yeah. And it's great to have Ben Wagner back, just to throw that out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to throw this out here, Chris, you know why we started this show originally, right?
Lame excuse to get drunk once a week.
Well, there was that, but the other fact was that we actually started this off as the bird watching game cast, and once a month at the game to goof around with us all together, so you didn't have to listen to the audio from the ball game. You could listen to us instead. We did it live during the game all the time. And doing it, and I had Brendan, Adam, all these people coming on for a bit inning here and there, and it worked out very fun. To the point that Brendan and I were like, you know what? We should just make our own show.
And here we are. And here we are all these years later.
It's part of the Fanside Network, ironically.
Yes, that's true. That is very true. But yeah, no, it's going to be crazy, guys. It's going to be a crazy finish. I think we know our fate is going to lie, obviously, in this 3-game series with the New York Yankees. So let's put each other on the hot spot. Craig, you go first. this upcoming three-game series with the Yankees, we've gone over the pitching matchups. We've gone over what it should take to win at least two out of three. They have to win two out of three. Anything less, and you could kiss the season goodbye at that point. So, Craig, what is your official prediction for this series? Is it going to be a sweep? Are you that confident, or are you going to be conservative and go two out of three?
I'm going to go two out of three because of the Hyunjin Ryu wild card tomorrow night. And honestly, the only reason I'm even thinking we might even have a 60-40 chance of winning with Ryu on the mound tomorrow is the fact that Danny Jansen is actually once again healthy. And right. He has thrown really, really well, specifically to Danny Jansen throughout this season. I think maybe one of those things that contributed to him going off the rails was all of a sudden he had to deal with Riley Adams and Reese McGuire. Who knows? I have no idea, but like I said, it's just enough of a wrench in the thing for a guy that is the ace that you are getting the better catcher. That right. Might have been just enough to throw a wrench into it initially, which caused maybe a slight mechanical issue or pressing to the point where he got hurt. But to that point, I think two out of three is where the Blue Jays are going to be because, like I said, I don't see how Jose Berríos in a packed house with all that adrenaline running through him is not anything but insanely good. And then we know what we're getting from that start from Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray is going to leave every ounce and every yowl and growl on that Rogers Center, and it's going to be fun.
So where you're going is they lose Tuesday, so they lose tomorrow to go three back. You win the last two of the series to go into Baltimore one back.
And okay. Unfortunately, as much as I don't want it, I'm having trouble swallowing the fact that it's going to be anything different.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Chris, where are you going?
I think we lost him.
Oh.
It says you're muted.
You're on mute. There you are.
There I am. I'm going to go one and two.
One and two?
Yeah, I'm going to go one and two, so then I'm not disappointed, but then I can be ultra happy when they go 2-1 or 3-0.
Yes.
There it is.
Yeah. This is tough. I actually do think they win Ryu. I think they win Ryu tomorrow. I really do. And that's more so for the fact that Jameson Taillon's pitching, and I think they score some runs early. So they bring the gap down to one game. I think they lose the middle game, personally. I don't think they beat Gerrit Cole. I think Gerrit Cole's going to come back, get himself right before the playoffs. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be like a 3-2, 4-3 type of game. Berríos is going to pitch well. And then Robbie Ray delivers, like we all have said and agreed he will. I think at the end of the day, the Blue Jays go into hosting Baltimore, and the Yankees go into hosting the Rays. One game up. Where that leaves Boston remains to be seen. We'll see what happens with the Red Sox and the Orioles. I'm not trusting that. I'm
go Orioles.
Yankees only. Yeah, go Orioles as much as possible. But yeah, I think that will set up one game back when you come or when Baltimore comes to Toronto. And if that is the case, gentlemen, that means that game 161 is going to be super meaningful, depending on what happens on Friday. Even if they lose on Friday and the Yankees win two games, you still can win the last two and force a tiebreaker. So at minimum, you win two out of three. Then you're guaranteed to have almost every single game count the rest of the way out. And it's going to be stressful, and there's going to be a lot of puke, and there's going to be a lot of shit, and there's going to be a lot of, oh my goodness, what the hell, and a lot of beard pulling and pulling out our hair. But that's what we've signed up for. And this last week, we're all very inexperienced at this kind of stuff in September because it's very rare that the Blue Jays are in it this late over the course of the last 20
years. Well, it's not close this late.
Exactly. In all
Blue Jays' tenure that they've made the playoffs, it hasn't been this close except for 1985, I think. It was the year we unfortunately just missed the playoffs because of the damn Detroit Tigers.
2016 came down to the last day of the season. The second last day when they won to clinch, but then they still had to win game 162 to host the wild card game. But they were in a playoff spot at the time. Mm. There was no worry about that. They still have to try to get back into a playoff spot, and that's why it's super stressful, and none of us have experience with this.
I said on Twitter today that we wanted meaningful September baseball, but I think when we meant meaningful September baseball, that meant going into the last three, five games up instead of this, because this is not healthy for any of us.
No,
like,
it's
the hospitals are already full. The hospitals are already full with COVID patients. They don't need people for just anxiety and stress.
Jay's stress and heart attacks. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Your symptoms?
But to that point.
I chewed all my fingernails, and I drank too much because Ryu got shelled in the second inning.
Now I have to have my stomach pumped.
Depression.
Yes.
But anyway, as I was mentioning, if you guys can't wait till you know, Game Time tomorrow, there's a really good documentary on the Blue Jays for 1985 on YouTube. Check it out. It was really, really cool and fun to watch. So as a Blue, I was only born in 84, so I heard about this, so I had to watch. But do you guys see tomorrow being maybe a slugfest because of the, you know, back into the both those pitchers coming back from the IL, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I'm thinking. I'm thinking something ridiculous. Like it's going to be a 15-16 ball game.
Oh, jeez. Oh, not quite that. I'm thinking like eight, six, or something in that range is probably. But then they're going to surprise us.
Weird feeling.
Do nothing.
Just weird feeling that something offensive is going to be ridiculous tomorrow. The other two games are going to be so out.
Especially with the way the Yankees are hitting right now, too, right? Like, Stanton's coming up with some massive hits. Like, they're playing horrible defense. They're playing defense of the 2020 Blue Jays, but...
Yeah.
The Blue Jays... The ticket to this, essentially, is the Blue Jays need to capitalize on those moments. They need to come up big when the Yankees play horrible defense. You know Gardner's going to come up and do something stupid and just... I get a little bit annoyed when like Blue Jays Twitter goes off the handle with Brett Gardner because like secretly I love Brett Gardner because he's one of those guys that you just loathe.
Yeah.
But like I want him on our team so bad. Like he's one of those guys that you want on your team so bad. But like when you're playing against him, you're like, fucking this guy again.
He's a grinder.
I'm with you. 100%.
I get annoyed when everybody's like, oh, Brett Gardner again. It's like, well, of course. Like, he's done it for the last 34 years against the Blue Jays. Like,
Man. Yeah, it's going to be stressful. We got covered for at least this episode as kind of like your preview for the next 6 days and more specifically the next 3 days because that's what the season's going to come down to. Craig, I'm turning it over to you. You have the list of picks to click. We'll go over last week. We have Chris's pick already locked in. None of us picked Robbie Ray last week, so
I'm changing mine.
Oh, because he's actually going to be on the show. He feels like he could change it.
Yeah. No, okay. Don't get me wrong. Robbie Ray is going to be Robbie Ray, and it's going to be the greatest thing I've seen from him. But I'll let you guys pick first, and then if you don't pick my pick to click, then I will pick mine. But if one of you does, then I will go with Robbie Ray.
Okay.
There it is. So unless I'm going to actually, because I forgot to put it on Twitter, I'm going to use as the tiebreaker for the week before. So not this previous week, but the week before. Adam,
that's a lot of beers ago.
Yeah, I know. Well, just, you know, before your wedding, well, that week, all right? So
because I watched a lot of Blue Jays that week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Semi and Vladder.
It was Semi and Vladder, right? That week, Vlad didn't drive in a lot of runs that week. I feel that was kind of the start of Bo's scuffling, so I'm going to have to go with Semien.
I kind of was in that same ballpark. So, Brendan, you once again are just continuing to bury everybody, because that's where we were leaning everybody, because we were all like, well, they all had kind of shitty weeks.
Yeah.
That was the week the offense went on a drought. Yeah. So, last week, Brendan had Springer, Adam had Teoscar, and then I had Vlad. And you had Robbie Ray.
Robbie Ray stopped the losing streak. So that's very much.
I'm actually thinking he actually probably takes that because the only one I think out of those other two, Teoscar, was a typical Teoscar, but he didn't get to the home runs. He had a few RBIs.
So you guys are telling me in the last 2 weeks, none of you chose Miguel?
No.
Wow, y'all haven't been paying attention, have you?
I know.
No. Yeah, he had to have a freak accident for us to think about him, apparently. I thought I must have picked him 4 or 5 weeks, like, randomly before that hot streak. And I kept getting beat with him. So I'm like, what he's been consistently doing,
He's very quietly so good. Like, last year he hit 300 and nobody, 60 games, whatever. But, like, if he didn't start so bad this year, he would have been hitting over 300 again.
Oh, easily.
Easy. And the fact that he's sneaking up on 30 home runs again. Yeah. I think he's got 80 or 90 RBIs too. He's had one of the best Blue Jays seasons like that we've had from a seven hitter ever. Just saying.
Yeah. So I don't want to see any tweets through the offseason of Jose Ramirez for Lourdes Gurriel. Trade all the prospects you want, but you get rid of Gurriel. You're losing quite a bit out of this lineup that Jose Ramirez isn't going to give you back.
I think the biggest thing on that whole topic with Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is actually just as much as he is good and amazing offensively, he is one of the best intangible guys on this team as far as you, him and Vlad are BFFs for life, man. What's that going to do to somebody like Vlad not having that go-to person in the dugout just to goof around with, to get out of the mental space of a, you know, a slump or any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's something to say about that.
A great time. And I think him, Vlad, and Teoscar and Bo are just so critical to the Toronto Blue Jays right now. Mm-hmm. You can't throw a wrench in that. And I don't care who you're getting in return. Unless it is literally the King's ransom, I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah, it's tough because Jose Ramirez would be so nice.
But yeah, you could buy that this spring or this winter. I guess it'll probably be spring after by the time they figure out the CBA.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway,
so did we go
carry on with your picks? Like,
me?
I told you. Robbie Ray definitely won. I don't even know who else.
No, I actually, my vote is Robbie Ray as well because he stopped the losing.
I'm all right. Fuck it. So I think, out of that group, I think Robbie Ray last gets the cake. Because of that fact that he did stop the slide and he was, exactly. Even though he had a rough day, he still managed to get a day game.
He grinded.
So anyway, to that point, I'm in the school of thought that our guests should be the one picking first.
But if you want to defer and be last, you can.
No last. You guys can pick because I have unless you guys pick Robbie Ray and my pick to click, then I really got a scuffle. But I don't think you guys are. So go ahead.
So to the fun part is this window could actually be pretty short. We were talking about maybe doing a weekend show, depending on how this Yankees series goes.
I would personally pick for 6 days.
Okay.
Do six days.
Good either way. I'm confident.
I think the confidence for Bo is going to come back. I'm going to run with Bo Bichette.
You're going Bo?
I'm going Bo.
Okay.
Better.
Bo knows getting to the playoffs. He did with the Fisher Cats.
Can I pick George Springer for a second week in a row because he didn't win?
I'll allow it.
I forget what the rule was with that. I'm pretty sure you couldn't pick the same guy, but I thought that was only if that person won pick the click. So because we didn't,
that rule, I'll make it a rule. Law.
I mean, hey. If it's allowed, I'm going to take George Springer because he got off to a good start. And I think personally, he keeps it rolling. And that's going to be a large reason why they definitely win at least two out of three in the series. So George Springer.
We'll get the phone and typical pick for Adam Corsair because him and I are fighting for the last spot. So go ahead, Mr. Key.
Okay, now I got to go for Robbie Ray.
Yeah, because you were going to take Springer, weren't you?
I was going to take Springer because he's going to put the team on his back this series. I will give a 1A to Robbie, but do not doubt Jordan Romano's importance in this series.
True.
If there are close games, he needs to be pitching the eighth and the ninth inning. Yeah. And if not, you need to get Nate Pearson in some spots and get them in quick. And you have to be quick on the trigger with him. Blow those Yankees hitters away. And don't mess around with your changeup. Don't mess around with your slider. Pump 101.
Yeah,
fastball. I think blow it by them. Give them your best.
I think tomorrow game actually going to be a point where Nate Pearson gets a chance to shine for an inning at least.
I wouldn't be surprised
having him in that mix with Ryu and Matt possibly being in that and coming out right-handed and being able to throw that much more smoke than the other two. That's going to look like fucking billion miles an hour. Being what Ryu's throwing changeups, you know?
Yeah.
You start twirling curveballs and changeups, and then here you go. Here's Nate Pearson for the seventh. Here's Tim Mesa to flip you around for the eighth. And Jordan Romano, don't even think about throwing a slider. Just pump 101.
Yeah, don't do
especially guys like Ray last week.
That's really frustrated me this last little while. As you see Pearson hasn't thrown as much as what I would like him to.
I would have wanted more. To be perfect.
Like Pearson threw one inning, I think, in Minnesota. In four games, like he should have probably
see what he could do.
Yeah, but like him and Romano, like quit screwing around with guys.
Yeah,
you throw 101. Like, do you? Okay, I've never seen 101 before. I've seen
We lost him. So, from my description of friends that played in minor league baseball and saw a few guys that pitched in the 100s and whatnot, they more or less described it to me like this. Yes, you're back. Baseball, you can still see the seams. 100 miles an hour just looks like a goddamn blur going by you.
Yeah, like, I played fastball, so, like, people weren't throwing anywhere near that. I might be on a different microphone, but I might sound a little different.
You're good now.
But, like, yeah, there were some people throwing some wacky stuff for that. So, but, like, I've never seen 101. But, like, to wrap your head around trying to hit something coming at you at 101 miles per hour with
scary.
Why are you even wasting your time throwing anything else?
I agree. I agree.
Up, down, in, out, 101. Give it to them.
Yeah.
If Aaron Judge tees one up because you're throwing 101, I'm good with it. Like, personally, I'm good with it. But you're going out there throwing your number one. Yeah. Like, they're giving you your best with, like, everybody's best at that point. And if you get beat on it, so be it.
Completely agree.
One thing I want to see happen, though, if if Nate Pearson is the first one out of the bullpen tomorrow after Ryu, I want to see him just throw a changeup up there first, because they're going to be all geared up for the fastball to steal a strike. Yeah. Watch them swing out of their shoes. Watch them do a fucking, you know, drill into the ground, whoever it might be. That will be just epically hilarious, and I want to see it. I just want to see him buckle somebody's knee on a changeup right out of the bullpen. It'll be hysterical. Yeah,
that would be fun. That's what they should have done to Alcides Escobar in the 2015 ALCS.
He was just sitting dead red, and guess what?
Oh, I know.
That's what happens. And to that point, I don't care whose red it is. If you're sitting on it, that's the reason you change speeds, right? It's in and out, up and down. And there's something to say that I think that's the part of Nate Pearson's game that needs to evolve. But the fact that he does this have ridiculous stuff that he should be throwing as hard as he fucking can out of the goddamn bullpen. Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Do it. Run with it.
Well, then we have our work cut out for us. We will keep you posted on how this week goes with the Toronto Blue Jays. As Craig mentioned, we might potentially come back at you with a weekend episode, depending on how things go. We will do our best. We'll look at our schedules and go from there, see what the deal is. But yeah, needlessly, this is the week where everything's got to go. 2 out of 3 at minimum. 3 out of 3, take the sweep. That would be incredible, and go one up on the Yankees going into Baltimore. Welcoming Baltimore to Toronto would be absolutely incredible. But Craig, Chris, any comments, anything from the Twitter feed that came in before we sign off?
Good.
All good to go. All good to go. All right, gentlemen. Well, everybody, thank you for listening to this special Monday night Jay Bird watching. We want to get our little Yankees series preview in. And again, this is the third episode that we are part of Jay's Journal, the official podcast of Jay's Journal by Minute Media. Sweet. It's awesome. Check us out on jaysjournal.com, on YouTube, wherever it is, and Stadium Scene as well. Shout out to Stadium Scene. Adam, we miss you, man. We got a fantastic fill-in for you, as often as Chris Key will be able to join us. So take your time.
We found our Santiago Espinal.
Exactly. We found our nice.
I feel like I'm a little more hard hitting than Espinal. Come on.
But you have awesome leather.
Okay, that it saved that for later. Come on, Craig.
There it is.
Yeah, save it for later. Come on now.
I feel like I'm more of a Jake Lamb when he makes contact.
Yeah, that's fair. You got the power aspect there. Yeah.
Or like Juan Francisco.
Juan Francisco from May of 2014. That's what we'll go with. That's what we'll go with.
I almost thought he was going to pull an Emilio Bonifacio out there.
Bonifacio, Spanish for can't lay down a fucking bun.
Yeah. Bone face.
That's one of my favorite memes ever.
Oh, man. But yes, this has been fun, gentlemen. Let's end it how we normally do, with two claps and a Ric Flair and a guess. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays! Get your vaccines.
Get to the ball game.
That too.